Well, I'm excited to be here with you and to have the privilege of sharing with you on the first day of a brand new year. We're going to be, of course, looking into God's Word together. And so if you have your Bible with you, which I hope you do bring, please turn with me. We're going to start off, actually, in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, before we go to the main passage that I want us to look at together today. And I'm going to try to keep things brief. The clock died, so I don't know how long I might end up going. But we're also going to be breaking bread together this morning after the message. So anyhow, turn, if you would, to Matthew 24. And let me begin by getting you to do a little daydreaming. That's not a good word. Anyhow, I just want you to try to create in your mind for a moment the idea that you're getting ready to go to war somewhere, okay? I wouldn't wish that on anybody, but just try to think about it for a minute. You are going to go into a major battle, military battle. What are some of the things that you would do to prepare for this battle? Just get a little bit of your thinking. What would you do to get ready? You would pray. Good one. Very good. Okay. Be at peace with yourself. Excellent. Allies. Yes, indeed. With big guns. Very good. Okay. Well, and there are a lot of other things, I'm sure, that come to your mind. I would like to bring up one that hasn't been mentioned yet this morning, and that is, would you need to know something about where you're going and what your enemy is like? Would you need to know if it's going to be 100 degrees or 2 degrees? Would you need to know if your enemy has aircraft with bombs or just bow and arrows? You know, you would need to know a lot about the people and the army and the place that you're going into in order to prepare yourself. And this being the first day of the year and us going through this message called Eyes Wide Open, I want us to take a couple of minutes thinking about the world in which we live in order to prepare ourselves for the mission that God has called us to. And then we're going to draw some things out of that by getting into God's Word. But we live in a very, very shaky world. And I know you know this, but I just want us to meditate on it a few minutes together this morning because I think it's important for us to know what we're facing. So just think about our tiny little country with me for a couple of minutes. It took a war, the Revolutionary War, to start our country. Okay, bombs. Well, I don't know if we had bombs back then or not. But we certainly had bullets and cannons and bayonets and all of those terrible weapons of war. Since then, we've had several world wars where most of the world was engaged in this, sending out battleships, aircraft, bombing people, shooting people. Just in my lifetime, of course, we had one of the first ones in my lifetime was the Vietnam War. We spent 20 to 30 years fighting this war where terrifying things happened to people over in the jungles of Vietnam. A lot of times people don't even know why we fought that war. Since then, we've had 9/11 where these two crazy huge buildings came down because of Muslim attacks. And so since then, we've been fighting wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and it just continues. Technically, our country has now been in existence 240 years. Can anyone tell me how many of those years we have technically been in some form of war? Okay, well, I'm not an authority on the topic. Technically, we've been at war 219 of those 240 years. And of course, that does not include all the wars that other countries were fighting that we were not a part of. And so I think Stephen is absolutely right. Our world has been at war every single year. It's just a part of life. And even if we take it out of the military aspect of things, just think about the other things going on in our country. We're fighting now. There's this moral war, it seems, going on in our country. What is right and what is wrong? And that's being fought out in the court systems. We've got Muslim attacks that are ongoing. It's not a huge government thing, but they're doing everything that they can, including now taking vehicles and just driving them into a mob of people, running over anybody that they can. We have racial tensions in our country that are on the rise again. Blacks, whites, Mexicans, it's just, we can't seem to get along. It's crazy. Let's go out of that realm for a minute. Think about finances for a minute. We have whole countries that are going bankrupt. Whole countries. Bankrupt. People say, well, that could never happen in America. We could never go bankrupt. I have just two slides for you this morning I want to show you. This is the national debt. I just thought this was an interesting piece of trivia. I'm going to try to read that number for you in just a second. But I want you to note that the digits on the right there, I don't know if they're correct or not, because when I pulled up the national debt, this ticker clock was going. And it was going so fast that I could not see the last digits, the last, like, five digits. It was going so fast. Our national debt is just climbing. So see if we can read this together. We now owe $19,942,307,082,276. Of course, that was about a week and a half ago when I looked at that. So it's now millions more than that. That's how fast it's growing. To put that in perspective for you, our national revenue, our income for 2015 was $3.25 trillion. So let's say we just shut down the whole government, everything. No more Army, Navy, Marines, nothing. No more Social Security benefits, no more Medicare, Medicaid, no more food stamps, no more congressmen. No more IRS. Actually, I'm kind of feeling good about this. But, you know, let's say we shut the whole thing down. How long would it take? And we keep on paying all of our taxes. You realize it would take us more than 7 years with nothing happening to pay off that thing? More than 7 years because the interest rate on it is going so fast. And so, see, if you watch the news, you know I have really only scratched the surface. The problems in our country and the problems in our world are deep problems. So the question is God surprised by this? And that's what I want us to read. That's where we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 24 with that question. Is he surprised at the wars and these deep, deep problems that we have? Let's just pray again before we read a little bit of his word. Well, Heavenly Father, I am just keenly aware of my need for you and our need for you this morning, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you are a wise God, a loving God, faithful God, a mighty God, and that you are for us. So, Lord, I do pray as we look honestly with our eyes open at the world we live in and look to you and to your word for answers, I pray, God, you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that this morning would make a difference, that we would not have wasted our time to be together here today. That we would hear from you. Just speak to our hearts, Lord. The things that we need to hear to move forward for you in our lives. We pray it in the mighty name of Christ. Amen. All right, so if you're at Matthew 24, look at verse 1 with me. It says, Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. So what they're doing is, as they've come through the temple, they were kind of impressed with it. And so they got out, you know, and they're just leaving, and they're like, Jesus, Lord, look at these amazing stones and these wonderful buildings. Okay, we know a little bit more of the story because of Mark and Luke. There's a little bit more of it. Okay, and so there's nothing wrong with that statement, right? But notice Jesus' response. He said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." Of course, Jesus knew something that they didn't. He knew the future. And he knew that in 70 AD, the Romans were going to come and they were going to destroy that place. And they would walk back out there and they wouldn't be able to find one rock on top of another on the foundation. But this, the disciples' eyes, I imagine, got pretty wide because the temple was huge. And so this brought up some questions for them. And they came to Jesus and began asking him in verse 3, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And so now we're just getting ready to hear Jesus answer and answer our question, is God surprised about the condition of the world in which we live? And of course, the answer is no, but listen to what Jesus has to say. He answered them, said to them, verse 4, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs." So God's not surprised by this. He knew about the wars. He knew it was coming. But notice that last verse. We're not going to take the time to read this whole chapter. I hope that you will, and you probably have and do. But if you haven't, I hope that you'll read this whole chapter and just see what the Lord has to say here. But notice what he said in verse 8. "All these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs." So if you've ever been in labor or trying to help someone who is in labor, you know a little bit about birth pangs. Okay, when they start off, from what my wife tells me, I've not experienced this personally, but when they start off, they're like quite uncomfortable, but manageable, and they're pretty far apart. But as things progress, things get more desperate and very uncomfortable and usually unmanageable. Most ladies that I know of say, "Give me something for this pain." Even though they go into it often not wanting to take anything, they say, "Get me out of here, because it is unmanageable and it's coming rapidly." And that seems to be the picture that Jesus is giving us of the world in which we live. So should we be surprised that we have war every year? Well, not if we take the Bible seriously. Not if we take the Bible seriously. And so I just think it helps us to sometimes think about the world in which we live. And this is carried a step further in Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like you to turn over there with me if you would. And we're going to spend a little more time at the end of Hebrews chapter 12 together this morning. But one of the main things that what Jesus says to me, gives to me, is I need to keep in mind that this world is not the goal. It's not the goal. You know, it's so easy for me. I love life. I love Virginia. I love America. I love living here. It's been a great life. And I love the home that I live in and the woods that surround my home. You know, it's a great place. I love my neighbors. I can see their house from mine, cutting down more trees so I can see it better. You know, I love life, but this world is not the goal. This world is a scary, shaky place in which we live. And so we have to ask the question, what is the goal? God made us. He's a good God. He made us with a wonderful purpose and plan, what is the goal? And that's part of what we're going to pull out of this passage. Read with me. I want us to just read verses 25 through the end of the chapter, and then we're going to go back and talk about them one verse at a time. Now, keep in mind that the chapter that we're jumping into the middle of here, what the writer of Hebrews is trying to do is he's trying to keep his readers following Christ. He's saying to them, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. I know it's hard. I know it's tough. I know you've run into some persecution and some very difficult things, but don't give up. And one of his reasons for not giving up is the very thing that we're talking about this morning. Okay, so we're going to jump into the middle, start in verse 25. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. And this is a powerful passage of Scripture. And I want us to go through it at least verse by verse. We're not going to go word by word, but at least verse by verse. But here's one thought we can take away from it. And I'm just going to, I only have one point today. We're living in shaky times. Let's live for a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And that's my summary of those verses. Let's live for a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I just feel the need to pray again, so why don't you join me? Lord, I do just want to pause and remember that you're the giver of life. Lord, you're the maker of all things. You're the wise one. Lord, as we look at the world in which we live and grow up in and try to mature in and have our homes in, Lord, sometimes it's a scary and frightening place. Lord, you've told us just that, that hard things are going to happen. So, Lord, we need hope. We need to have our eyes on you. And I pray, Father, that we will find that hope in these words. Amen. So go back with me to verse 25, and let's just talk about these a little bit. It says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Okay, the one who is speaking is God. Okay, and the second part of the verse says, for if those who did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. He warned them on earth. What's it talking about? It's talking about Mount Sinai. If you go to the verses immediately preceding this, up around verse 18, and read up there, you'll see that he's describing how God had gathered together his people at Mount Sinai, and he said, okay, I'm going to come, and I'm going to speak with you personally. Okay, you and I don't usually get that, right? At least not audibly like they did. And so he was going to meet with them on this mountain. And they were all told to prepare themselves, and the next day they came out, and the whole mountain was shaking and smoking and lightning flashes were occurring. Wow, they're having fun down there, huh? They're getting rowdy. Lightning flashes were occurring. It was terrifying to them as God audibly gave them the Ten Commandments. They were so frightened that afterwards they went to Moses and they said, Moses, don't let that ever happen again. You go talk to God and come back and tell us what he said. Don't let that ever happen. We were so scared. And so the point of this verse is, if they didn't escape, because when they ignored God's words, he had to judge them, much less will we escape whom he has spoken to from heaven. Think about it. God himself, we just celebrated it, right? Here's our reminder. God himself became a little child and walked this earth and spoke the words that no one has ever spoken. God himself has spoken to us. We now have his words sitting in our homes. They're up on the bookshelf or on the coffee table, right there in front of us. God has spoken to us from heaven itself. And this verse is saying, we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention. He goes on with his description in verse 26. And his voice shook the earth then. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Also the heaven. Now, when we were talking about the condition of our world and how we live in shaky times a few minutes ago, we talked about all of our shakiness, all of our world's problems. But part of what this verse is saying is that God's doing some of the shaking. And of course, near the end of time here, he's really going to do some shaking. So much so that this earth is going to be obliterated and removed. But in letting us know about this, he takes us into verse 27. Something very important for us to remember. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So the good news is that even though we live in such a broken world, God's given us something that we can live for. Of course, Jesus came here and he lived for it. He lived for things that were eternal, for people. The Old Testament says that his cause was truth and meekness and righteousness. That was his cause. Those are things that cannot be shaken, that you and I can live for. Truth and meekness and righteousness. Verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. So here he's describing for us how we can serve him. And I find it interesting that he uses two words there, reverence and awe. I think the idea here is that I can better serve him if I keep my eyes on him. If I remember how powerful he is, how incredible he is. The idea behind those words, reverence and awe, it has a little bit of fear in it. But it's just got this total amazement with the greatness of God and the glory of God and the goodness of God, the power of God, the love of God, the kindness of God. Think about it. Here's this being, the most powerful being. Actually, he's not in the universe. He's outside of the universe. He made the universe. And yet he's the best thing we know. He's our very definition of love, our very definition of hope. Just sends chills down my spine thinking about it. You know, you think if you grow up in a family, like we watched a movie last night, which was actually a pretty good movie. It's called When Love Is Not Enough, and it was about the beginning of Alcoholics Anonymous. But the guy who started it had a major alcohol problem and just drove his wife into the ground. She came through it well, too, though. But terrifying. Can you imagine growing up in a family like that? But we have the opposite. We have a God who is absolutely incredible that we respect. And He is our future. He is our future. And so how can we serve Him successfully in a broken, shaky world? By keeping our eyes on Him. By remembering He's bigger than this garbage that's going on down here. That's how we can serve Him with reverence and awe, keeping our eyes on Him. And of course, a similar thought is the concluding thought here. For our God is a consuming fire. Okay, it's just talking about His greatness, that He is so far beyond us that we just can't really even imagine it. But as we set our eyes on Him, as we trust Him, that's what will enable us to follow Him. Now, really, I do have more than one thought for you. I think this is something that is so important for us to remember. But where we're going with this in the coming months is we are diving into the book of Philippians together. And over the next 3 or 4 months, we're just going to go through the book of Philippians from the very beginning to the very end, verse by verse. And why? Because it's an example of this. Paul lived in a crazy Roman world. When he wrote the letter, he's actually in jail. But you would never know it, except that he tells you he's in jail. In chapter 1, he tells you that's where he is, but you'd never know it. He's living this incredible, victorious Christian life and challenging this precious little church to do the same and giving them instructions about how to do it. But he's living in a broken world. And the whole time, he's got his eyes on the next world. Exactly what we want to do. So I just want to leave you with that thought this morning. And actually, we're going to do something a little different for our closing song before we break bread together. Kaz sent me a song that I think just so, especially the last verse of this song, so beautifully encapsulates what we've been talking about here. So you'll know the music. It's set to Auld Lang Syne, or however you say that. Set to that tune. So you'll know it. But it's about Christ. About giving glory to Him and following Him. So before Jim comes up to lead us for our break in a bread, why don't we all stand together, and if you want to hit that, we'll just end this time in God's Word together by singing it. Thank you. God of glory, we just thank you that you came for us and that you led us, you spoke to us, you want to walk through each day with us. Lord, we just give you our hearts and our lives today, and we want to walk into this next year with you and your love firmly in place, right before our eyes, Lord. Father, how I thank you for this precious group, this precious church family, and the privilege of being a part of them. I pray, Lord, that as their new year begins, it would be a blessed year. Lord, that their marriages, their families, their jobs, their recreation would be a delight. Oh, Lord, that each and everything that they do would be touched by you and used by you. And I pray it again in the precious name of Christ. Amen.